Charities by Catherine Billsborough. A charity is a non-profit making organisation that raises money for people in need. These days there are thousands of charities around the world, and it is possible to donate money to help people, animals and places. The RSPCA, Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, was the first organisation dedicated to the well-being of animals anywhere in the world. In England and Wales alone, the RSPCA employ more than 300 inspectors, whose job it is to investigate reported cruelty to animals. The SPCA was set up in London in 1824. At this time, it was considered strange that people should care about cruelty to animals. They were regarded as either food, transport, or sport. In 1840, Queen Victoria gave the organisation permission to be called a Royal Society, the RSPCA. These days, there are almost 200 branches in the UK. The RNIB, Royal National Institute of the Blind, is the UK's leading charity for the blind. Sight loss is one of the most common disabilities in the UK, with over 1 million people suffering from either partial or total blindness. The RNIB challenges the disabling effects of sight loss by providing information and offering practical services to help people lead as normal a life as possible. The organisation also works on the underlying causes of blindness, working towards its prevention, cure or alleviation. The RNIB have centres all over the UK. TBG, Tidy Britain Group, is an independent national charity fighting to improve the quality of the local environment. They aim to make people more aware of the negative effects of litter, dog fouling, graffiti and vandalism, and to get everyone involved in doing their bit to keep Britain clean. The work of the TBG is done mainly through campaigning. Volunteers work closely with councils and businesses to organise educational programmes designed to raise awareness of the problems. The TBG's sister organisation, Going for Green, concentrates on pollution issues. The two groups share premises and have the same chief executive. Every Child is a relatively new charity, which was created when two existing organisations, the CCFGB, the Christian Children's Fund of Great Britain, and the ECT, European Children's Trust, decided to merge in 1983. The organisation works with children, families and communities in 12 countries. The organisation believes that every child has the right to grow up and develop to their full potential in a secure, safe family environment, free from poverty and exploitation. Every Child identifies the needs of a particular community and then sets up sustainable projects to ensure that children in these communities have basic rights such as healthcare, education, social services and community development. Every Child sets up the projects so that they are self-running. The organisation then moves on to new projects, leaving things in the hand of locals. Charities by Catherine Billsborough. A charity is a non-profit making organisation that raises money for people in need. These days there are thousands of charities around the world, and it is possible to donate money to help people, animals and places. The RSPCA, Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, was the first organisation dedicated to the well-being of animals anywhere in the world. In England and Wales alone, the RSPCA employ more than 300 inspectors, whose job it is to investigate reported cruelty to animals. The SPCA was set up in London in 1824. At this time, it was considered strange that people should care about cruelty to animals. They were regarded as either food, transport, or sport. In 1840, Queen Victoria gave the organisation permission to be called a Royal Society, the RSPCA. These days, there are almost 200 branches in the UK. The RNIB, Royal National Institute of the Blind, is the UK's leading charity for the blind. Sight loss is one of the most common disabilities in the UK, with over 1 million people suffering from either partial or total blindness. The RNIB challenges the disabling effects of sight loss by providing information and offering practical services to help people lead as normal a life as possible. The organisation also works on the underlying causes of blindness, working towards its prevention, cure or alleviation. The RNIB have centres all over the UK. TBG, Tidy Britain Group, is an independent national charity fighting to improve the quality of the local environment. They aim to make people more aware of the negative effects of litter, dog fouling, graffiti and vandalism, and to get everyone involved in doing their bit to keep Britain clean. The work of the TBG is done mainly through campaigning. Volunteers work closely with councils and businesses to organise educational programmes designed to raise awareness of the problems. The TBG's sister organisation, Going for Green, concentrates on pollution issues. The two groups share premises and have the same chief executive. Every Child is a relatively new charity, which was created when two existing organisations, the CCFGB, the Christian Children's Fund of Great Britain, and the ECT, European Children's Trust, decided to merge in 1983. The organisation works with children, families and communities in 12 countries. The organisation believes that every child has the right to grow up and develop to their full potential in a secure, safe family environment, free from poverty and exploitation. Every child identifies the needs of a particular community and then sets up sustainable projects to ensure that children in these communities have basic rights such as healthcare, education, social services and community development. Every child sets up the projects so that they are self-running. The organisation then moves on to new projects, leaving things in the hand of locals. Charities by Catherine Billsborough. A charity is a non-profit making organisation that raises money for people in need. These days there are thousands of charities around the world, and it is possible to donate money to help people, animals and places. The RSPCA, Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, was the first organisation dedicated to the well-being of animals anywhere in the world. In England and Wales alone, the RSPCA employ more than 300 inspectors, whose job it is to investigate reported cruelty to animals. The SPCA was set up in London in 1824. At this time, it was considered strange that people should care about cruelty to animals. They were regarded as either food, transport, or sport. In 1840, Queen Victoria gave the organisation permission to be called a Royal Society, the RSPCA. These days, there are almost 200 branches in the UK. The RNIB, Royal National Institute of the Blind, is the UK's leading charity for the blind. Sight loss is one of the most common disabilities in the UK, with over 1 million people suffering from either partial or total blindness. The RNIB challenges the disabling effects of sight loss by providing information and offering practical services to help people lead as normal a life as possible. The organisation also works on the underlying causes of blindness, working towards its prevention, cure or alleviation. The RNIB have centres all over the UK. TBG, Tidy Britain Group, is an independent national charity fighting to improve the quality of the local environment. They aim to make people more aware of the negative effects of litter, dog fouling, graffiti and vandalism, and to get everyone involved in doing their bit to keep Britain clean. The work of the TBG is done mainly through campaigning. Volunteers work closely with councils and businesses to organise educational programmes designed to raise awareness of the problems. The TBG's sister organisation, Going for Green, concentrates on pollution issues. The two groups share premises and have the same chief executive. Every Child is a relatively new charity, which was created when two existing organisations, the CCFGB, the Christian Children's Fund of Great Britain, and the ECT, European Children's Trust, decided to merge in 1983. The organisation works with children, families and communities in 12 countries. The organisation believes that every child has the right to grow up and develop to their full potential in a secure, safe family environment, free from poverty and exploitation. Every Child identifies the needs of a particular community and then sets up sustainable projects to ensure that children in these communities have basic rights such as healthcare, education, social services, and community development. Every Child sets up the projects so that they are self-running. The organisation then moves on to new projects, leaving things in the hand of locals.
Watching TV is a very popular pastime in the UK, but what kind of programmes do British people like to watch? Well, the most watched TV programmes every week are very popular dramas that are usually on at least four times every week. They are dramas based in one neighbourhood that try to depict ordinary life in the UK. We call these dramas soap operas or soaps. In the early days of TV, there were often dramas on during the day. Back in those days, it was traditional for the husband to go out to work and for the wife to stay at home and look after the house and the children. Most of these daytime dramas were aimed at entertaining the housewives, who would traditionally be at home, probably doing the washing. Companies selling washing powder would advertise their products at times when these dramas were on, and sometimes those companies would even sponsor the drama, hence the word soap. So what about the word opera? Well, that's because these dramas are often an exaggeration of real life. They're supposed to represent ordinary lives, but to make them entertaining, lots of dramatic events like murders, divorces, affairs, etc., all happen probably much more regularly than they would in a normal neighbourhood. Most soap operas these days are shown in the evening. Each show will have several different storylines happening at once that continue over several shows. The same cast members will appear in every show too. There are lots of different soaps on in the UK on different channels, but there are three main popular ones. Coronation Street has been on since 1960. It is set in a suburb of Manchester, and it's supposed to represent working-class life in the north of England. Then there's EastEnders, which started in 1985, set in the East End of London, and Emmerdale, which is set on a farm in Yorkshire, in the north of England. Watching TV is a very popular pastime in the UK, but what kind of programmes do British people like to watch? Well, the most watched TV programmes every week are very popular dramas that are usually on at least four times every week. They are dramas based in one neighbourhood that try to depict ordinary life in the UK. We call these dramas soap operas or soaps. In the early days of TV, there were often dramas on during the day. Back in those days, it was traditional for the husband to go out to work and for the wife to stay at home and look after the house and the children. Most of these daytime dramas were aimed at entertaining the housewives, who would traditionally be at home, probably doing the washing. Companies selling washing powder would advertise their products at times when these dramas were on, and sometimes those companies would even sponsor the drama, hence the word soap. So what about the word opera? Well, that's because these dramas are often an exaggeration of real life. They're supposed to represent ordinary lives, but to make them entertaining, lots of dramatic events like murders, divorces, affairs, etc., all happen probably much more regularly than they would in a normal neighbourhood. Most soap operas these days are shown in the evening. Each show will have several different storylines happening at once that continue over several shows. The same cast members will appear in every show too. There are lots of different soaps on in the UK on different channels, but there are three main popular ones. Coronation Street has been on since 1960. It is set in a suburb of Manchester, and it's supposed to represent working-class life in the north of England. Then there's EastEnders, which started in 1985, set in the East End of London, and Emmerdale, which is set on a farm in Yorkshire, in the north of England. Watching TV is a very popular pastime in the UK, but what kind of programmes do British people like to watch? Well, the most watched TV programmes every week are very popular dramas that are usually on at least four times every week. They are dramas based in one neighbourhood that try to depict ordinary life in the UK. We call these dramas soap operas or soaps. In the early days of TV, there were often dramas on during the day. Back in those days, it was traditional for the husband to go out to work and for the wife to stay at home and look after the house and the children. Most of these daytime dramas were aimed at entertaining the housewives, who would traditionally be at home, probably doing the washing. Companies selling washing powder would advertise their products at times when these dramas were on, and sometimes those companies would even sponsor the drama, hence the word soap. So what about the word opera? Well, that's because these dramas are often an exaggeration of real life. They're supposed to represent ordinary lives, but to make them entertaining, lots of dramatic events like murders, divorces, affairs, etc., all happen probably much more regularly than they would in a normal neighbourhood. Most soap operas these days are shown in the evening. Each show will have several different storylines happening at once that continue over several shows. The same cast members will appear in every show too. There are lots of different soaps on in the UK on different channels, but there are three main popular ones. Coronation Street has been on since 1960. It is set in a suburb of Manchester, and it's supposed to represent working-class life in the north of England. Then there's EastEnders, which started in 1985, set in the East End of London, and Emmerdale, which is set on a farm in Yorkshire, in the north of England.
Majestic, serene. Just two words to describe the scenic regions of Utah and the Mountain West of the United States. Now, our office offers fabulous five-day outdoor packages of the state for the adventurous. On the first day of your tour, visit the capital of historic Salt Lake City, Temple Square, home to the world-famous Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and other local historical sites. Then your tour will take you on a four-day adventure of a lifetime to central and southern Utah, where you will hike and backpack through Arches National Park, Goblin Valley, and Bryce National Park. You'll also explore the magical world of Little Wild Horse Canyon, this very narrow, winding chasm with its steep walls on either side of you will leave you in amazement knowing that it was formed from rushing water and erosion over millions of years. You'll also hike and scramble up to remote Indian ruins, study their history along the way, and learn how to respect and preserve the sites and the wildlife you encounter. You'll also learn the basics in rappelling, techniques designed specifically for the novice climber. The price of your tour package includes local transportation in Utah, one night's lodging in a four-star hotel in Salt Lake City, hiking and camping gear, two meals a day, and your professional tour guide. Transportation from your point of origin is not included. Contact our office between 8 and 5:30 p.m. for more information and current availability on this wilderness trek, and reservations must be made 13 days in advance. Let us show Utah like no one else can. majestic, serene. Just two words to describe the scenic regions of Utah and the Mountain West of the United States. Now, our office offers fabulous five-day outdoor packages of the state for the adventurous. On the first day of your tour, visit the capital of historic Salt Lake City, Temple Square, home to the world-famous Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and other local historical sites. Then your tour will take you on a four-day adventure of a lifetime to central and southern Utah, where you will hike and backpack through Arches National Park, Goblin Valley, and Bryce National Park. You'll also explore the magical world of Little Wild Horse Canyon, this very narrow, winding chasm with its steep walls on either side of you will leave you in amazement knowing that it was formed from rushing water and erosion over millions of years. You'll also hike and scramble up to remote Indian ruins, study their history along the way, and learn how to respect and preserve the sites and the wildlife you encounter. You'll also learn the basics in rappelling, techniques designed specifically for the novice climber. The price of your tour package includes local transportation in Utah, one night's lodging in a four-star hotel in Salt Lake City, hiking and camping gear, two meals a day, and your professional tour guide. Transportation from your point of origin is not included. Contact our office between 8 and 5:30 p.m. for more information and current availability on this wilderness trek, and reservations must be made 13 days in advance. Let us show Utah like no one else can. Majestic, serene. Just two words to describe the scenic regions of Utah and the Mountain West of the United States. Now, our office offers fabulous five-day outdoor packages of the state for the adventurous. On the first day of your tour, visit the capital of historic Salt Lake City, Temple Square, home to the world-famous Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and other local historical sites. Then your tour will take you on a four-day adventure of a lifetime to central and southern Utah, where you will hike and backpack through Arches National Park, Goblin Valley, and Bryce National Park. You'll also explore the magical world of Little Wild Horse Canyon, this very narrow, winding chasm with its steep walls on either side of you will leave you in amazement knowing that it was formed from rushing water and erosion over millions of years. You'll also hike and scramble up to remote Indian ruins, study their history along the way, and learn how to respect and preserve the sites and the wildlife you encounter. You'll also learn the basics in rappelling, techniques designed specifically for the novice climber. The price of your tour package includes local transportation in Utah, one night's lodging in a four-star hotel in Salt Lake City, hiking and camping gear, two meals a day, and your professional tour guide. Transportation from your point of origin is not included. Contact our office between 8 and 5:30 p.m. for more information and current availability on this wilderness trek, and reservations must be made 13 days in advance. Let us show Utah like no one else can.